can read from Bhagavad Gita. So, reading from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 27. Ichcha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. O sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities, arisen from desire and hate. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Shri Krishna appears by His internal potencies, but those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, this is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife. These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has different energies. Parashashakti vividhaiva shriyate. And He has, for example, spiritual energy that takes charge of all the activities in the spiritual world so that everything goes on nicely there. And that energy is comprised of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So that energy has to be a very good energy because eternity is a long time. And everything has to go smoothly, perpetually. Here in the material world, we don't have eternal energies here working. So the Lord has another type of energy that deals with the temporary nature of this world. It's like we see here, everything has a cycle. It's like our year has a cycle. Now it's summer season, so we're having this festival. Outside festivals. In the winter, it would be difficult, right? In January, to have this, don't you agree, to have this outdoor festival? Be more difficult. But because there's a cycle, and things keep revolving, the planets revolve, the constellations revolve, the seasons revolve, and everything gets recycled. We're proud of our recycling systems now in the world, but still the universal recycling system is superior. For example, what happens to this body after it's no longer usable, or let's say after death? This body gets recycled. If it's buried, most, I think they bury the people, the bodies here a lot. I saw some big cemeteries. Yes. So they bury the body, but then it breaks down. Microorganisms. So the body just breaks down, becomes earth again, recycled. Or if the body's burnt and it becomes ashes, and the ashes, they recycle into the earth or the air. Or if the body is just left, then some vultures come, eat the body, and then it becomes vulture stool, and then it becomes recycled also into the earth. So one way or another, earth thou comest, earth thou goest. Recycled. And the soul, we're going to speak a little bit about the soul also, spiritual particle. Here in the material world, practically everything is material. All the constituents of this building are material, earth and some water, some air, fire, like we have some heat. Heat is a function of fire, light. And this body is also made of matter, and even the mind, intelligence, and false ego are made of matter, more subtle. Practically everything is made of matter, but there's one spiritual dimension that is here in this material world, and that is that inside every living creature has a spiritual particle there, a person in a small spiritual form. And that spiritual form is giving life to the body. It's not that the body, when we produce a body of matter, then it comes alive and then the life force happens. Life force is not a function of matter. It is a different energy. And the nature of that energy is like the spiritual world. Sat, Chit, Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So you, probably those of you who are thinking, listening carefully, you're thinking that, well, if the spiritual particle here is of the same quality as the spiritual world is, then why is the spirit soul here? Sounds like a fish out of water. If the fish goes out of water, then big problems. You've seen a fish out of water? Flapping around? Doesn't look very happy. Of course, someone who's an illusion might think, oh, look how happy the fish is. He's jumping. Look, he's jumping on the floor. He's dancing. Isn't that nice? That dancing and squirming is not happiness. It's misery. But those who are in illusion, they think the fish is happy. Similarly, when we see people squirming and jumping in the material world, we may think, oh, look how happy they are. Actually, they're suffering. They're fish out of water. They're souls away from their home. Lost souls. And they won't jump for long because, just like the fish, maybe a few minutes or a few hours and then the jumping's finished. Starts off jumping high, flapping very enthusiastically, and gradually deteriorates Similarly, we start jumping very high when we're young, and then we're very active, and then as we get older, then the movement is restricted, and finally death comes. And then the soul, who is not yet purified, gets recycled. Another body. What type of body? He can choose. There are 8,400,000 different species to choose from. Just like when you go into the big auto sales place, now they have many automobiles you can choose from. You can have a Mercedes, you can have a Volkswagen, Ford. You can choose. You want the big one or a little one. Different species of automobiles. Similarly, different species of bodies. And each soul can choose which type of body he wants. And the bodies begin from aquatics. Live in the water. If you like the water. You like the water? You can live in the water. 900,000 different models that live in water. Or, you like the earth. Environmentalist, you can live in the earth as a plant. You can make your home. You can set down your roots in the earth and become a plant or a tree. 2 million models of... They're called stavara. Stavara means they don't move. They just stay. Stavara, same word, stavara, stay. Situated. Or, there are, if you like to fly, 1 million models of birds. Or, if you like sometimes to fly, and sometimes to crawl, and sometimes to swim, you can take one of the 1,100,000 models of amphibians, or insects and reptiles. We can choose those type of models. You may think, I don't like to fly all the time. Sometimes I like to fly, sometimes I like to. So amphibian is good for those desires. Or, if you like to, what is it, they have the four-wheel drive? So you can have four-leg drive, four quadrupeds models, horses, and dogs, and so many different squirrels. You can have those type of bodies. Or you can have human, and there's different types of humans depending on which planet we live on. So this, then we go through the same thing again. We take birth, whatever it is, even if it's a little squirrel taking birth. He does the same things. He's concerned about eating and he sleeps sometimes. And then when he gets older, then he mates. He gets a family. And then he's concerned about the little squirrels. And he's making sure he has his home. They make their homes up in the trees so that bigger animals don't come and eat them while they're sleeping. Very similar to humans. And during the day they're eating and defending. And same thing. All the species do that. And then the body grows old and wears out, and then he has to leave the body of a squirrel and goes on to another body. This taking on different bodies continues until one begins to figure out what's going on. That I seem to keep doing the same thing again and again. I've already been through so many lifetimes. I've had so many bodies. And I keep doing the same thing. I keep dying. Then I'm born again. I get another body in the womb of a mother. And then I grow. And then I have family. And then I have a business. Everyone's got some business. Birds also have their business. Sometimes they fly across the town to do their business, to go to work in the morning, and come back at night. Everyone's got some business. And then, ultimately, death. And what's it all about? Why am I going through this? That question should come. But it only comes in the human form. It does, this question, this type of analytical understanding doesn't come in the other species, the other models. They don't have that capacity. For example, a dog never asks the question, why am I a dog? Have you ever seen a dog that asked, why am I a dog? Why couldn't I have been a bird? No, he's a dog, he doesn't question it. And not only is he a dog, but he's enthusiastic about being a dog. You see dogs, they really... You never see dogs with any kind of inferiority complexes or, you know, psychological problems about identity. You know, why couldn't I have been a bigger dog? Why am I such a small dog? Why am I not, I don't have pedigree? They're not worried about it. He's a dog, and he plays his part enthusiastically, thinking that he is the dog. But the dog is just the body. Remember, there's a spirit soul inside, and that's what he really is. But because he's an illusion, he's under the influence of the external energy, which is called Maya. Now he's illusioned into thinking he's a dog. It's like a hypnotism. The souls are all hypnotized to believe that they are the bodies they're in. Does everyone follow what I'm saying here? They're hypnotized, and they believe it. I was once, before I came in contact with Krishna consciousness, I used to live in Los Angeles. So in Hollywood, there was a... I went to a theater one night, and the performer was a famous hypnotist. World famous. So the lady, she had a big audience. Maybe 200, bigger than this, maybe 150, 200 people. And so before the show began, she came out and said, is there anyone here who would volunteer to be hypnotized for the show? We use our audience for the show. And several of us, including myself, agreed to be hypnotized. So we went backstage, and she, you know, did the swinging. You know, you watch the thing, and she speaks. So then after a certain time, you're supposed to be hypnotized. And she says, so now when I say, stand up, if you're hypnotized, you'll stand up. And she snapped her fingers. And some of the people stood up. They were hypnotized. I didn't get hypnotized. I don't know why, but some of the others did. So those others, they were part of the show. So they sat up on the stage with her. And I went back and sat in the audience to watch. So the show began, and she had all these nice, you know, dressed people. They came, you know, for the theater, and they were sitting in their chairs and facing the audience. And she said, now, and she snapped her fingers, and all of them went like this. And she said, now, all of you are going to be different types of dogs. She said, you will be a boxer. You will be a Cocker Spaniel, you will be a German Shepherd, and you will be a Great Dane. So she went through and she said, on the count of three, you'll be dogs and interact with each other. One, two, three. And they all, you know, got down on their hands and knees. And, you know, One was scratching, and they were sniffing and barking and running. And of course, it was hilarious. We were in the audience. We were watching these people who before were humans, a few minutes before. Now, they were identifying themselves as dogs. And they had dog fights going on up there. Sometimes she had to come in and stop. No, stop. They were fighting too much. It was going to be bloody, you know. She didn't want any blood because she probably have some suits, you know, court legal problems. So she was always on the scene to make sure they didn't get too brutal to each other. Or that some other things wouldn't happen that dogs do, you know. So she had to be very careful. So then after a while she said, okay, when I say three, you'll no longer be dogs. You'll just be resting. So one, two, three, they all stopped being dogs. And then she put them through. Then they became something else. She made them different things. She put them in different circumstances. And for the whole evening, for an hour and a half or whatever it was, she just put these poor people through all different things, and they played the part because they were hypnotized. They were under her spell. She had control over them. She had control over their subtle body, and because of the control over the subtle body, she had control over their physical body to some extent. So that's how Maya works. Maya is the supreme hypnotist in this world, and she's got her spell on all of us. And she's telling us, now you're a fin. So behave like a fin. So then you go to Estonia and you buy some beer and you come back. And so everyone is controlled by material nature. She has everyone hypnotized to play the part. Now you're a woman. Now you're a man. Now you're young. But actually, this is not our real position. This is a imposed position. It's a misconception. It's called false ego. In Sanskrit, the word is ahankara. Ahankara. That means that I think my identity is the body. Just like in that theater, those people, they changed their identity according to the hypnotist. She said, now you're a dog, so they thought they were dogs. Similarly, we change bodies, and the soul inside the body thinks that he is that body. But actually, they're all spirit souls, just like us. There's no difference. All the souls are the same type. They're individual, excuse me, but they're the same quality of soul, spirit. And they can go through all the different bodies they like. Now, there's one difference to this, to the real scenario of our world and the hypnotist scenario. In that case, they were under her control. And we're also under the control of Maya. But we can get out of that hypnotism if we like. We can get free from this imposition. But not by any arrangement between ourselves, because everyone else is also hypnotized. They're also under her control. But even if we band together 5 or 10 of us and we say, okay, we're going to, if such an idea were to come in our minds, but if we thought we'll go against the hypnotist, well, she has the power to stop us. All of you stop. Okay. But in the case of Maya, the material energy, we cannot get out by working individually or collectively or even with her. We have to go to her master because she's been given instructions. And her master, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, is the supreme controller, Ishvara Paramakrishna. And we have to somehow or other approach him. And if he likes, if he's pleased with our approach, then just as a governor is able to free any prisoner in any of the prisons, if he so desires, similarly, the supreme governor is able to free us from the bondage of Maya. And that approach is called bhakti yoga. You've heard the word yoga means to approach or to link with the supreme, yoke. And by this bhakti yoga, or devotional activities, one approaches the supreme governor, Krishna, and he becomes pleased by their sincere service and effort, and then he arranges for them to get out of this cycle of birth and death. And that is what human life is meant for. That is what we're supposed to be doing here, trying to get out, not trying to make arrangements to stay here. We see most people, they don't even think they're supposed to get out. They think, no, we're trying to stay. We're making arrangements. I have a big house. I have so many insurance policies. I'm planning to stay here for a long time. And I'm making arrangements. Not only myself, my children, my grandchildren, we'll all stay here. But no, this is not a good place to stay. First of all, you can't stay. But even if you could stay, there's so many problems here. It's like death, old age, disease, war. Human form of life, atato brahma jigyasa, is meant for inquiring about the spiritual nature, the superior nature, not just becoming captivated in the day-to-day activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, which are available to the animals. Humans have a special prerogative and a special responsibility. They've been given more intelligence. They're supposed to understand things, and not just material things. Understanding material things is not a very, it's not a great achievement. To spend our time understanding. For example, let's say one man, he spends his whole life counting grains of sand on a particular section of the beach. He's become the master of the grains of sand on that beach. And he's the authority. No one knows more about how many grains of sand there are on that beach than this man. He's got it all calculated. Grains per inch, or grains per centimeter, and depth, and exactly, and variances according to wind. If the wind blows very strongly, then some of the grains, they fly out of it. He's got it all figured out. Scientifically, he's got a calculator, he's got a computer program that adjusts for different seasons when more grains may come in from the sea. Huh? Are you with me? What is the use of it? He's got it down. It's scientifically, he is the authority. He can tell you that when the tide comes in, we expect that there will be 14.2189743% more grains of sand entering into that particular section. Do you know why? And he'll tell you why. Huh? He'll explain exactly why it happens, and he'll explain how it happens, because there are shifts in the tides on the other parts of the world, and there's different temperatures, and because they coagulate, they make the water is a little thinner or a little thicker, or sometimes the fish, they also eat other fish that have eaten
different plants that have some grains in them, and some of those grains of sand enter into the second fish, and a few of those go out when he excretes, and those stick in the... On and on and on. But what is the use of it? It has no value. And he's, meanwhile, he's growing old, and then finally he dies. And they put on his tombstone, Dr. Sandstone, he achieved the highest perfection in calculation of grains of sand in this place. So we think that's very important, that one should be recognized in that way. But actually it's not. This is a waste of time. Better, we try to figure out how we can go back to the spiritual world where we belong, which is our real home. There we'll be happy. And even the process of figuring out how to go back and trying to go back is also joyful. Kevala Ananda Kanda. It's a blissful activity. Devotional service or bhakti yoga is happy from the beginning, and of course there's no end, so it goes on and on eternally. Therefore we're advising, not only we're advising, but Lord Chaitanya is advising, Lord Krishna is advising, that take up this happy process, this bhakti yoga process. Be happy. Don't become captivated by the bewildering material energy. The words were used here in this verse, ichcha dvesha sumutena. So ichcha means desires. We're born ichcha dvesha sumutena dvandva mohena bharata. Every living entity is born into this world, the material world, with desires. It's like we were discussing before. We have desires to enjoy our senses or enjoy our minds. And at the same time, we desire, but we hate too. We hate other living entities, or we hate things that are not pleasing to our senses. This fighting is going on. We see in the world today there's a lot of hatred, a lot of wars. You may have read about it in the newspaper or seen it on CNN. That there's wars because there's hatred. Why hatred? Because I hate anyone or any country that interferes with my gratification of my senses. I like oil because we use oil to run our factories and to heat our homes and to run our nice cars. And if anybody tries to raise the prices on oil, we're going to bomb them. We'll send some bombs over there. Ichcha dvesha samut. They're connected. My desires, and then anyone or anything that gets in the way of my desire, I hate them. I hate it. This is not the type of world we want to live in. Better to go back to the spiritual world where there's no hatred, there's no material desire, there's only spiritual desires which are good and pure and easy to fulfill. So that's the scenario. We can stay in this material world if we like, and we can continue rotating, getting recycled in different bodies. We discussed that. You can play the part of a dog one lifetime, the next time a dolphin, whatever. But if we're more intelligent, then we try to understand our true nature as spirit souls, part and parcel of God or Krishna, and we make arrangements to purify our consciousness, raise our consciousness to the higher level, the highest level, which will allow us to enter into the spiritual world. So this is a summary of our philosophy. If anyone has any questions, we can try to answer. Yes?
I was just wondering, in Bhagavad Gita, it says unquestionably that Krishna is the controller of everything. So he has control over Maya, who has control over us to some extent. Why does Krishna still allow Maya to have such a hold over us still?
Because she's the prison warden and we're the criminals. Like, the governor gives almost complete autonomy to the warden of the prison. Within boundaries, he says, you're not supposed to kill them, but give them a lot of trouble because they're bad. They've performed criminal activities and they don't deserve to have a nice situation. No one goes to prison thinking, I'm going to have a very nice, everyone's going to serve me and it'll be very comfortable. It's not comfortable. You'll not be treated nicely. And the association is not so great either. So, that's what we have in the material. We're the criminals. We left the spiritual world due to our criminal mentality. And now here we are, all the criminals packed up together in the big prison. And therefore, it's not surprising that we fight with one another, is it? If you've been to a prison, you see they also get in fights quite a bit.
So the reason that we can seek our outlet through Krishna is just because we're the species that has the ability to be able to ask and to offer to Krishna. We can actually ask for our outlet. The other species can't do that.
Yes, and we can understand the situation. We have the capability. It's like here, only humans are here. Although Tathavada made the announcement in the square, there were many other species present. Right? There were some birds also flying, but none of them came because they're not interested. They cannot understand. Even if you sit down, if you get them in a cage and you start, all right, now try to understand. You're not that body. Very difficult for them to understand. Even if you could speak in the bird vernacular, it's difficult because they don't have words like soul, and they don't distinguish between. They have more simple language, food, danger. You know, I like you. Different, smaller language. They can't understand these very subtle. But humans can. We see that every human is capable of understanding this. Even children, although the child is the same type of soul as an adult, it's just the body is a bit immature. It hasn't fully matured yet. It's like but the soul inside the child, you can see that when they're given the chance to take to the bhakti yoga process, they naturally begin singing and dancing. They like all these activities. It's not unnatural to the soul to be devoted to Krishna. A child, if you tell a child, you are the soul inside the body, they'll understand quite easily. If you tell them, this is God, he's a beautiful person, here's Krishna, and we're all his servants, we're supposed to worship him. They don't have any problem with it at all. It's when we get older and we start getting very complex and scientific and atheistic and all these things that we have difficulties understanding. Children don't have any difficulties. So better to be like a child when it comes to this science. Well, at least we, somehow or other, we're not there now. And we have fallen here into this material world. So, that's our present predicament. Somehow or other, we're not there. And
in spiritual world or in physical world?
Hmm?
In spiritual world or in
Yeah, one way or another, we're not in either. We're here in the material world. We've dropped into the material world. So just like when a person gets shot with an arrow, okay? When he's shot with an arrow, he can try to figure out the velocity of the arrow and what was the intention of the arrow and what type of arrow it was. Or he can take the arrow out and get cured. So more important is what? Take the arrow out and get treatment. So right now, rather than speculate about the past, we should deal with the present situation that we have been shot with the material arrow, and now we have to get it out, get free from this material attachment. That's what we've been advised by the acharyas, the liberated souls. Other questions?
Yeah. So is this middle planetary system, is it supposed to be having people on it, or are we all supposed to be back on Krishna Loka now? Is that what the aim is, for everybody to go back there? Is this supposed to be people on this planet?
Okay, that's a good question. Just like, so there's different types of prisons also. There's low security prisons and high security prisons. And so, let's say you're in a middle security prison. Is it supposed to be there or not?
Yeah.
Why?
You're talking on the levels like the high security.
Yeah, let's say the middle security prison. Is it supposed to be running or not?
No, I would say no.
Right, it would be better if there were no criminals, if no one behaved improperly, so they didn't have to have it. But they know that there'll be a certain percentage of people who don't want to follow the law and who will need, so they make residence for them, so when they're ready, they can go and live there. Here's the middle security prison, we have it ready for you. Your cell is waiting. Here you go. So yes, as you said, theoretically, or hopefully, all the souls will realize that this is not a pleasant place to be, and they'll go back to the spiritual world. But it doesn't work like that, because the souls have free will, and they don't like to surrender. They don't all like to do the right thing. Even if you give them good advice, still they won't all take it. Incorrigible. Individual, Krishna has expanded Mamayavangso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. He's expanded into unlimited parts and parcels. So in one sense, we're a little part of Krishna. We are a part of Krishna. And we're an individual part. But we're not the whole. We're the part. And therefore, we have our individuality. So you could say, I'm also Krishna, right? You could say you're Krishna. But you're not Krishna, you're part of Krishna. Just like the drop of water from the ocean. The drop of water can say, I am the ocean. And he is the ocean, but he's just a little teeny part of the ocean. So we're individual parts. As Krishna is the supreme whole and the supreme person as well, simultaneously, similarly, we are very small individual parts and parcels of Krishna or God. And we have our own individuality. And we have qualities similar to His. He's a person, we're persons. He's eternal, we're eternal. He has desires, we also have desires. He has beauty, and we have some beauty. But His beauty is greater than our beauty. And His knowledge is greater than our knowledge, but we have some. Does that explain?
Yeah, well, actually, I don't feel like back anymore. If I ever get back there, so how do I act individually there?
Well, the same. You'll be the same person you are now, but you'll be pure. You'll be free from all diseases. Right now, we have diseases. we're an illusion and we have impure desires. But when one becomes free from all disease, just like, for example, if a person's in the hospital, when he gets free from his disease, what does he do? Well, his personality becomes more alive. Otherwise, if he's sick in bed, they say, "How are you today?" He says, "Yeah, okay." He can hardly talk. He doesn't walk. But when he gets free, then he's out dancing, jumping, water skiing, doing so many things. So when we get free from the disease, we become more active. We become free from the restraints that the material nature has imposed upon us. Therefore, pure souls like Narad Muni, they do all kinds of things. They go everywhere they like. Travels in the material sky, the spiritual sky. Has so many wonderful qualities. Ever youthful.
What are the different kind of actions Krishna accept that as a devotional service?
Nine categories. One category is shravanam, hearing. It's like this is hearing now we're doing. This is a discussion about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and we're hearing that. This activity is considered a foremost activity in spiritual advancement. Just like you can all feel it. You're making advancement right now. You're coming closer to Krishna. Your doubts are becoming dispelled. They're supposed to be. And that's a fact. And the more we go on hearing, then the more the doubts will be dispelled, provided we hear from the proper sources. We have to hear from those who actually have transcendental knowledge. They can dispel the illusions. Right now we're confused. We don't know. We've become bewildered by Maya. But by hearing, we get free from that. Therefore, hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam, like we were chanting today, Hare Krishna, a lot of Hare Krishna chanting today. So that's another process. Or speaking about Krishna and the philosophy. That's also chanting. Shravanam Kirtanam, Smaranam, remembering Krishna, meditating on the form of the Lord, or meditating on His activities. Shravanam Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu Parasevanam, worshipping, offering service, offering prayers, becoming the friend. These are all many different aspects like that that we can engage in. And because they're all offered to Krishna with love and devotion, therefore He accepts them. They have to be centered on Krishna though, for example. It's not that hearing about Sean Connery, 007, secret agent, is the same as hearing about Krishna. It doesn't have the same effect. Hearing about Sean Connery, 007, secret agent, it just keeps us in ignorance and we remain in the material world. And hearing about Sri Krishna, 108, going back to the spiritual world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we go back to the spiritual world. We get liberated. We get purified. Hearing about Sean Connery, our heart just gets contaminated because he does all these contaminated things. Killing people and having illicit relationships. But Krishna's activities are all pure. There's a big difference. It's not that hearing about Sean Connery is the same as hearing about Krishna. Or for example, chanting. Some people think, well, why should I chant Hare Krishna? I think it's just any mantra that you chant. Alright, so we say, try chanting Coca-Cola, 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 Cola-Cola. And see if your heart becomes pure, see if you get self-realization. I don't think you'll be able to do it for even more than 1 or 2 days. You think you'll be able to chant Coca-Cola? You won't get any taste. But we're chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. And it's getting better. And we're getting self-realized. People say the Hare Krishna devotees have peace of mind. They're happy. They may be crazy, sometimes they say. But at least we can see they're happy and they have peace. Even if they don't understand why it works. I met one lady, I'm from Kansas City, so she was helping us with our mortgage refinancing. And of course she was in the material world, always stressed out and full of anxiety. At the end, after the whole thing was over, she said, "Boy, I'm going to have to start chanting because I see how peaceful you are and how much an anxiety I am." So it's practical. Yeah, those of you who tried the chanting, you can see. It works. It's real because Krishna's name or God's name, it's also in the scriptures. Your Bible says, "Praise the name of the Lord from the time the sun rises till the time it sets," with the cymbals and the tambourine and the other instruments, the drums, timbrel. Yeah, same thing. Play the instruments, praise the name of the Lord. What is it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went into the fire and they were praising the name of the Lord. They didn't even get burned. And they were happy also. It's pretty amazing. You can enter into fire and not be affected. That's the power of the chanting. We also have examples of that in our Vedic culture. Those who are chanting very sincerely, they are unaffected by the material energy. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Oh, here's a question. Oh. Yes. So the pain, when we get the arrow in the arm, using that analogy. So the pain that we feel, what is it? Is it the body getting pain? Or is it the soul getting pain? Actually, the body cannot feel pain because it has no consciousness. So it must be the soul. But the soul doesn't feel pain because it didn't hit the soul. So what it is the soul under illusion thinking that it's the body, thinking that it's in pain. Different degrees of illusion. This is called Maya. And is it more painful when you think that the arrow was an unfriendly arrow rather than a friendly arrow? Just like, would you rather be killed by enemy fire or by your own men? Which would you prefer? So, it depends on the individual. Some might feel better that it was shot by an enemy, and some might feel better that it was shot by a friend. I guess it depends on the consciousness of the person. It's not fair. But everything's fair. But I'm not nice. And nobody who gets shot is nice. Because the law of karma is very accurate. Try to understand. The law of karma, action and reaction, is very precise. If I get hit by the arrow, it's because I was supposed to be hit. Not that it was accidental. You can't accept it. But that doesn't mean that it's unfair. It just means you forgot what you did. Huh? If someone says, "I'm a good person, why am I getting shot?" But they don't realize that these activities also go back to our last life, which we forgot. So now, in my previous life, I may have done something. I may have performed activities
that warrant a reaction. But I didn't get the reaction in my past life, so I get the reaction in this life. That's why, for example, different things happen to different people. Let's say, why is it that someone is born with a silver spoon in his mouth? Very wealthy family, good looking, intelligent. And another person is born deformed in a poor family. Why is that? It's not by accident. It's because of activities performed by the soul in previous lives. Now the reactions are coming. And that happens throughout our whole life. So there's no accidents. Everything is perfectly organized. But each individual flies his own airplane. He gets the reactions for his own activity, not for someone else's. So it's fair. No one, we have no one to blame but ourselves. If something happens to us, oh, this rock, it fell in my foot. That's an accident. It's not an accident. Yeah, well, that's a higher philosophy also. Ultimately, you could say if someone is so realized how everything is going on, yeah, he wouldn't move his foot. There are examples of great spiritual personalities. They don't bother to try to counteract the miseries because they know they're meant to be, and they just tolerate. Good questions. Good thinking. He's very thoughtful. Yeah, this is the saintly person. This is what saints do. Saints are kind to everyone and they don't try to make arrangements for their own pleasure. They, whatever the Lord gives them, they accept. It's like Jesus, perfect example of a saintly person. He was always trying to give kindness to others, but he didn't, even when he was being crucified, instead of thinking, how can I get out of this situation, he was praying to God that, my Lord, please forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Just see how saintly his heart was, pure. We're also supposed to become like that.
Considering the welfare of all the living entities, also kind of devotion and service.
Yes, but you can't just sit around considering their welfare. You have to do something about it. It's like Jesus didn't just sit there and say, oh, I hope all the people are... No, he went out preaching. He went out teaching. So that's the thing. If you have knowledge, give knowledge to the people who are in ignorance. That's what they need. That's the best way. And if you can't do the teaching yourself, then support those who are teaching. Give them assistance. You may drive the car for the teachers or the preachers. Or you may build the temples for worshiping Krishna. Whatever. Somehow or other, assist in the method of dissemination of transcendental knowledge. Yes. Okay. See, he says, I'm not this body. This is our philosophy here. And we need to remember that I'm spirit soul inside the body. Any other last points? Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.